have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
You Hi, everybody. I'm Nina Taylor, and here is this week's gospel news. Atlanta-born gospel singer LaShawn Pace first emerged during the 1970s, performing alongside her siblings in a group called the Anointed Pace Sisters. She was born September 7, 1961, to Bishop M.J. Pace and Betty Ann Pace in Atlanta, Georgia. She was raised in a small community called Pool Creek. Pace first emerged during the mid-1970s, performing solo and later alongside her siblings in the Anointed Pace Sisters. Durenice, Phyllis, June, Melanda, Deja, Leslie, Latrice, and Lydia. Her singing and ministering skills were further groomed while she toured with Reverend Gene Martin in the Action Revival Team. And in 1998, she recorded in the House of the Lord with Dr. Jonathan Greer and the Cathedral of Faith Choirs for Savoy Records. The label signed Pace as a solo artist soon after, and in 1990, she issued her debut, He Lives, which reached number 2 on the Billboard Gospel charts. The follow-up, Shekinah Glory, appeared in 1993. 3 years later, LaShawn Pace returned with Wealthy Place, 1998, Just Because God Said It. She also enjoyed a career as an actress, most notably co-starring as the Angel of Mercy in the 1992 film Leap of Faith with Steve Martin. The song Act Like You Know, featuring Karen Clark Sheard from the legendary Clark Sisters. She also released God is Faithful in 2001, It's My Time in 2005, Complete in 2007, Reborn in 2011, By Your Word in 2014, and her final project, Joy, in 2019. In 2003, LaShawn Pace authored an autobiography entitled For My Good, But For His Glory, in which she discussed a wide range of topics, including the death of her firstborn daughter, Zena, who passed away at a very young age. She was also inducted into the Christian Music Hall of Fame in 2007. She was to be at an official presentation ceremony with numerous other guests to be formally inducted, but fell ill and was unable to attend. In 2009, LaShawn was nominated for Urban Performer of the Year in the Visionary Awards. Winners were to be announced live during the 2009 Christian Music Hall of Fame Awards show on November 14, 2009. Pace had been on dialysis for several years and was awaiting a kidney. She died of organ failure, according to her family member, at the age of 60. LaShawn Pace will surely be missed. This week, our Women's History Month tribute is Dr. Maya Angelou. She is one of the people who shaped African-American literature and one of the most prolific writers of our time. Her career spanned several decades and included the publication of everything from poetry to essays to several autobiographies, including 1969's I Know Why That Caged Bird Sings, the deeply personal and highly successful book which chronicled Maya Angelou's experiences of rape, identity, and racism as a young girl in the South. It earned the author the distinction of penning the first nonfiction bestseller by an African-American woman. 24 years after I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings release, Maya Angelou read her poem on the Pulse of Mourning at President Bill Clinton's 1993 inauguration, and the 1969 autobiography once again landed on the bestsellers list, with sales reportedly skyrocketing to 500%. Her 2014 death at the age of 86 had the same effect on the sales, with other works such as Angelou's 1981 memoir, The Heart of a Woman. The Pulitzer Prize nominee was a longtime fixture on the bestsellers list. Here's this week's Top 10 Gospel Songs. Number 10, Tamela Mann, He Did It For Me. Number 9, Pastor Mike Jr., Amazing. CeCe Winans has number 8. Number 7, Renee Spearman, I Got God. Number 6, E. Dewey Smith, Your Presence is a Gift. Number 5, Byron Cage with You Are. Number 4, Juan Winans, featuring Deborah Joy Winans with Never On My Own. Number 3, Rudy Currents and Chrisette Michelle with No Greater Love. Number 2, Tasha Cobbs-Leonard, Gotta Believe, which means we've got a brand new number 1 song this week from Elevation Worship and Maverick City Music. The song's entitled Gyra. Well, that's your top 10 songs and our tribute to Sister LaShawn Pace. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your Gospel News reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
And you can always hear the one and only Nina Taylor right here on The Pastor's Corner on Elation Radio. Well, I am not Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr., but I am his co-host, Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, and I am so elated to be with you, to welcome you tonight to The Pastor's Corner. We are so looking forward to tonight's discussion and what the Lord is going to say and what the Lord is going to do. It is our prayer that you would perk up and join in and be a part of what is about to take place. We say God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, and now once again we welcome you. Let's see who's here tonight in this panel that we always have, and see what the Lord will do tonight. I know that the producer is here because she does the sound effects and all of that. Amen. If it wasn't for her, there would be none of these podcasts that come to you on a weekly basis. Come on, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, and say hello to us on this evening.
Hello, and I'm in the building. How are you doing today?
I'm grateful, thank God. He's bringing us down to the end of this third month. Okay, well, that's because you don't call no more, but I'm going to leave that alone. That's somebody else.
Oh,
anyway,
I miss you too.
It's good to hear your voice, too. It really is. Well, let's see what's going on here. And can you imagine tomorrow is that dreaded day, the day of the atheist? Did you not know that? Well, we'll talk about that another time.
Oh, I don't
all
talk
right.
about that.
Anyway, well, well, they do. Anyway, I'm so definitely glad to be here tonight. And I think we've got some others with us. Let me check and see who else is here. Let me see if Apostle Vincent L. Smith has made it tonight. Apostle Smith, are you here? Okay, I don't hear him. I know that Bishop-elect said he would be a few minutes late. So let me see if the one, the only Pastor Anna Henderson is here. We call her the Quiet Storm. Are you here tonight, woman of God? All right, that's two that's not here. Well, let me see.
I'm here.
If you've made it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr. God bless you, sir. Just trying
bless
to find
you.
Out who's
continue.
Here. Amen.
Continue.
Let me see.
I'm trying to get to the truck now, so go ahead and continue. Give me a chance to walk down here. It's about a quarter mile away.
Don't get out of breath in the process. Don't get out of breath.
I ain't messing with you tonight. You know that, right?
Yes, sir. Let me see. Let me see if this woman of God is here. She's in the Peach State. In that great city of the ATL. I'm talking about the one, the only, Apostle Felicia E. Fleiss. That's who it is. That's who I'm looking for. Are you here tonight, woman of God?
You can have whatever. Oh, I forgot. I'm in Atlanta. Hello, everybody.
Ooh.
I'm here.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. Were you about to sing that song, You Can Have Whatever You Like? Was you that what you were about to
can
sing?
Can
Wait
I?
A minute. You say.
Really?
You say.
Hey, Apostle Whitlow. Apostle Whitlow, here you go.
Uh-huh.
Can I? Really? Can I?
Oh, did you hear her say, huh? Did you hear her with that, huh?
I said, can I? Really?
Oh, my.
Can I?
I'm going to leave that alone.
Don't come for me.
I'm going to
leave
that alone.
You did send for me. You said you could have whatever you like, so I said, can I? All right, go ahead.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to leave that alone. Well, listen,
my heart belongs
to We are so elated to be here, and we are excited about tonight's discussion. But before we get into it, we're going to ask Apostle Fleiss if she would lead us into a word of prayer, and then we're going to begin our discussion tonight. Amen.
Man.
Please forgive me because I just think, Lord, now you know I like T.I. I like him.
But gracious Father in heaven, we truly thank you now, O God, for this day.
Yes,
Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we were on this side of heaven, O God, that you allowed us, Jesus, to see a day that we've never seen before. Father, I thank you right now for the activities of my limbs, O God. And everybody that's on this line, O God, I know they didn't need anybody to help them get up this morning, O God. And have anybody to help them put their clothes on, oh God. So for that, Father, we say thank you, Lord God. We give you glory, oh God. We thank you now, oh God, for forgiving us, oh God, of every sin, oh God. Wash us now, oh God, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, oh God. Father, I also ask right now in the matchless name of Jesus that, Lord God, everybody that desired to be on this call on tonight, oh God, that was not able to make it, that, Lord God, they'll be willing enough to go back to the YouTube channel and listen out, oh God. Allow them to have a listening ear, oh God, and an open heart to receive. Now, Father, I ask right now, oh God, that we will come together, oh God, in unity. We may not all agree, but it's all right. But allow us, oh God, to remain respectful, oh God, in Jesus' name. Father, have your way on tonight. Let the people know, Lord God, that this is unscripted, unrehearsed. So we go in, oh God, but we go in clean because we don't want our goods to be spoken evil of. Father, it's in the matchless name of Jesus that I pray. Can everybody say amen?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. I thank you. I bless God for you, Apostle Whitlow. I mean, you're always a godsend, and I actually made it to the truck while she was praying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Seek a Messiah, he shall come on a Honda. But anyway, listen. Welcome for all who are here. I know Apostle Flight's here. Apostle Whitlow's here. Dr. Kimmy Robinson's here. Who else is here, Apostle Whitlow? That's it?
That's it.
Okay, that's quite all right. We're going to still have a good discussion. I don't have my Bible in front of me, but if I can, let's see if I can get my phone out. Maybe I could find it. I believe it's 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 6. Can we go
you
over
ain't
there?
That, sir. You ain't. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I said it.
Uncle Chanel is on.
Hey, Reeve. Say that. Who else is on?
Somebody else on.
Chanel.
Who'd you? Hey, Sister Chanel, how are you, my dear sister?
I'm good.
Good. Happy to have you. Happy to have you. Happy to have you, honestly. All jokes aside, we're going to look at the 3rd chapter of, is that the one? Yeah, I believe it is.
2 Timothy.
2 Timothy.
Ooh,
chapter 3.
Let me read that. You should
would
let
you
me
please
read that.
Down to the 6th verse, please. And don't
you
skip a
syllable.
You should
let me read it. Put me in, coach. Put me
go
in.
Go ahead. We're putting you in. Read on. Read on.
Okay, so listen. If you don't mind, while you guys are reading the King James Version, allow me to read the Amplified.
I'm going to read that. But go ahead. Go for it.
Let me do that. Okay, so 2 Timothy, excuse me, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, and it begins, but understand this, that in the last days, dangerous time of great stress and trouble will come difficult days that will be hard to bear. For people will be lovers of themselves, narcissists, self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant, reviled, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. Verse 3 says, and they will be unloving, devoured by nature, human affection, chaos-called, excuse me, I pronounced that wrong, I'm sorry, and inhumane, malicious gossips, devoid of self-control. So that means you ain't going to have no self-control. No, okay. Immoral, brutal haters of good, poor traitors, reckless, conceit, lovers of sensual pleasures rather than lovers of God. 5, holding to a form of outward godliness. That means that you have a spirit of religion. That means that you're in the church, but you don't really go to church. Although they have denied its power, that means that you know who God is, but you don't think you know. No, that means that you know who God is, but you don't trust God's word. I said it. Although they have denied its power, for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. Come on here, somebody. And then it also says, avoid such people and keep far away from them. Verse 6, for among them are those who warm their way into houses and captive, moral, weak, and spiritually dwarfed women weighed down by the burden of their sins, easily swayed by various impulses. That means that you are sick in your head, and that you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. It's called insanity, people. Insanity. I just spelled it for you. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and doers of his word. Amen.
Amen and amen. Now, listen, we are going to get into this, and there's going to be more than one dissertation. So everybody and anybody that wants to put their dissertation out after I get started, you are more than welcome. I'm going to open up with this. I'm going to take you back to this past Sunday around 10:12 in the evening when a young comedian by the name of Chris Rock, he ain't that young, but he's young enough, was on stage and was doing his usual routine just before making a presentation. In the middle or toward the end of his presentation, he took note of the fact that one Will Smith and one Jada Pinkett Smith were sitting close to the front. And he just began to make some comments about them. First, he starts out with good comments about him. And then he moves over and says something that created a situation that really kind of not rocked the nation, but really caused people to take a step back and look. Making a reference to a G.I. Jane movie, which was played by one Demi Moore, where Demi Moore was humiliated and frustrated and made to feel less than what she was, the sergeant made Demi Moore cut her hair off, all of it. And so she was left with something similar to a bald head. And he makes the comment toward one Jada Pinkett Smith saying, Jada, love you. Now pay attention to his words. Jada, love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see the movie. Unbeknown to him, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and say unbeknown to him, Jada Pinkett was dealing with a disease called alopecia. Now, I've heard of this alopecia. I've heard of its detriment that, you know, and it's an actual, to a lot of women, it's an embarrassment. It's an emotional roller coaster to know that every morning they get up, their hair is falling out to the point and place where they're forced to literally cut all their hair off rather than go through the pain of seeing big clumps of their hair fall out. Meanwhile, as he's telling the joke, one Will Smith makes his little ha 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 chuckle to his wife and realizes she is not happy. Within seconds, one Will Smith gets up, walks to the stage where one Chris Rock is standing, and goes and smacks Chris Rock, and then does what I call a catwalk, as if he was modeling the suit he had on, back to his seat. In the process of going back to his seat, Chris Rock makes the sound. Will Smith just smacked a mess. He didn't use the word mess. He said sugar, honey, iced tea. Will Smith just smacked the mess out of me. And then he turns around and said, this is the greatest moment in the history of television. And, of course, he gets the crowd back laughing. Meanwhile, Will yells out, keep my wife's name out of your effing mouth. Y'all read between the lines. Most of y'all listening to us now, you say you're Christians, and those who are not Christians, you know what I'm saying. But those who say they're Christians and kind of sometime put on a show, don't act like you're so grown that you don't know what I'm talking about. And then he turned around and said, what? Then he turned around and said, keep my wife's name out of your effing mouth. And so Chris now has to figure out how to put this show together and keep it moving so that he could get the part that he was assigned to do done and be successful in its completion. Our subject tonight, as I shared this dissertation and we've heard the scriptures read in our hearing, is relatively simple. So this is what we're doing. That's the title tonight. So this is what we're doing. Now, I want to just go ahead and make this final dissertation. I'm going to hand the mic over to Apostle Whitlow because I know he's got some stuff he want to throw in there, and I don't know if Apostle Flight wants to put her 10 cents in. Sister Cheryl, you have an opportunity to put your 10 cents in, and Dr. Kimmy Robinson, you also have an opportunity to put your 10 cents in. I am going to say this. In relation to the scriptures, we hear about these perilous times. We hear about a time and an age which is birthing even before our very eyes and will be birthed and brought to fruition and manifestation in our life. People who once had love for one another, once had joy about different things, were supportive of one another, took time to care for their neighbor, are getting down to the point and place where they have the I could care less attitude. We've got young men who feel like somebody has disrespected them, and rather than approach them and maybe go hand-to-hand combat, now we've got young men who are hiding behind guns, young ladies who are grabbing the Vaseline and the straight razor. Everybody's got to have a weapon of choice to go out and handle such menial situations. What has happened to this society? What has happened to us in the church? We have some of the very same things happen. It wasn't that long ago, and I'm going to stop at this point and let Apostle Whitlow go behind me. There was a gentleman who was holding a quote-unquote revival. The gentleman was late. The church was late showing up. The bishop allowed them to use their church, but they came in late. And they thought they was going to stay late. The bishop said, oh, we got to shut this down because you came in late. That don't mean we're going to stay late. Well, this so-called overseer, if that's what he really was, goes out of the church cussing and carrying on and saying MF this and, you know, oh, my Lord, what is going on here? Somebody help me out. Apostle Whitlow, where are you, my brother?
Well, I'm just at the point where I'm appalled by some of the things we are seeing by figures, if you will, that we respect. Now, granted, I've always believed that you cannot put anything past anybody. But there are some things you just don't expect from some individuals, especially they who you respect. So let's just backtrack for a moment to Chris Rock and this Will Smith scenario. If anybody understood the G.I. Jane movie, they would understand that it was more of a compliment because of what Demi Moore had to overcome. And for to have any kind of disease or any kind of illness and to show up to any kind of function, you have defeated the odds. So to not see it as a compliment because of a comedic statement is not right. I'm going to let that sit right there for a moment. Now, while we're looking at that point, I want to also now look at this other scenario with this preacher who is, cussing, leaving out of the house of God. This tells me that we are dealing with the people who no longer value their calling, their anointing, their ministry, their mandate, or anything for them to carry on in such a manner. Because there is yet a standard that you must uphold. I don't care if something is not right, something you don't like. You must uphold a standard because if you don't, what you're doing is you're causing people to believe that it's okay to do anything, say anything, act any kind of way, and that God is going to be pleased with it when the truth of the matter is that God is not pleased with any such things. And so because of this, it leads me to believe that we just have a people who really have sunk into this lovers of self No respect for anyone else but themselves. And I simply believe that it's because they have reached a place of conceit where they are unable to concede to the Spirit of God. And I'm going to stop right there and let somebody else get a piece of that bone.
All right, ladies, who's first? Ladies.
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm gonna talk about the pastor first who did all this stuff. What's the scripture I'm looking for?
For God so loved the world.
Okay, so I'm no. I'm gonna say this. He has a form of godliness.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why I say that is because you can get up in the pulpit all day long, leave the church, go smoke, go do whatever you do. Do whatever you do, but you know who God is. You've seen his work, okay? But you're not delivered in that area. Yeah, we all, you know, we all of us are known to say, God is still working on me in that area. Yes, he is. But he's working on you behind closed doors. Because if he was, and I'm just saying something, that's in this young man's situation. God's working on him behind closed doors, because if God was working on him in the public, he wouldn't have never did that.
Mm-hmm.
So that the people could see that. He was exposed. So he was already in him. He ain't want to be delivered from that.
Okay.
I did 7 different things at one time. Now, I'm going to say the thing about Will Smith. Now, let me say this, because when I was going to cosmetology school, there is a known, it's not per se a disease for some women, alopecia, because alopecia can happen to anybody at any given time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a damage to your scalp to where your hair can have blotches and whatever. I have a close friend of mine who has alopecia, but her hair is only missing in one certain spot. Now, with Jada Smith, that's why she was wearing the wigs to cover it up.
Okay.
Again, yeah, it is embarrassing. And then to have the husband, who's supposed to be your protector, to laugh at something that you know hurts me. That's why he reacted the way that he did. I'm not making up an excuse, and I'm not saying that it's right. It was dead wrong. It was wrong. Because that, and I pray that if there is any Caucasian sisters and brothers on this line tonight that will come back and watch this, I need you to hear me before you judge me. This is the reason why a lot of African-Americans cannot be invited to certain things like that, because they already know what we're going to do. So their first thought is we're not going to even invite them, because you know they're going to come here and they're going to act unruly. So he just proved that fact after everything that you have been through, from the Prince of Bel-Air to all the movies that you have made. You just proved the point accurately.
Uh huh.
He could have dealt with that off camera. You had already gave him the eye. You had said something prior to that. But you just made everybody, and they don't even believe in God. They believe in worshiping the trees or whatever it is that they call them.
Mm-hmm.
So you just really showed up, and there was no reason to do that. We have to come to a point where we've got to come out of this. It's past time. We've been talking about it. Now God is saying, oh, I really got to show you now. I just told somebody today, I said, remember back in Genesis, and I think through Numbers or something, it may go even further. When you did something that God told you not to do, you died. Chew off. So what if that same God that they were serving back then, the same God that we're serving today, what if he started doing that? Oh, so you want to be disobedient? Bam, you dead.
Mm,
oh, you doing it? Oh, you dead.
Wouldn't be that much left on the earth. Mm, 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 mm.
It's time our people, we got to do better. Because we again, what about the generation that's coming up behind us? What are we showing them? What did that preacher just show his kids? Will Smith's kids already don't respect him, so they just you just gave them another loop in their pants not to respect you even more. I'm done.
My goodness. Ladies, Dr. Kimmy, Sister Chanel.
Well, I have a different perspective of that.
Go ahead.
I'm looking from a third eye because, you know, this is what Kimmy Kim does. I really believe that stuff is staged. You cannot sit without their permission. I've been studying other things for quite some time that is part of the initiation so that, you know, either Chris Rock or Will Smith will benefit from it, because God tells us that we have to watch those who are antichrist. They don't even believe in Jesus. They are Scientologist believers. So we must continue on praying for them, but if their God is not our God, they are the opposite of who we are. So I don't really look at that stuff, like the Oscars and the Grammys, because they don't really represent the God that we are representing. Their God is different. And so I understand what people are just talking about this. People are talking about this, but I really believe that was a stage, and honestly, it's going to really cause a lot of confusion and tension between believers and non-believers, because really, that is not us. Of course, we have other issues to think about, but I really believe that, you know, when you start researching the world systems and things like that, you will understand what I'm saying. So that, I'm just going to leave it like that.
Okay, Sister Chanel. Sister Chanel. Okay, I think you may be muted. There you go.
My take is a little bit different. I would say that I didn't see the slap because I just don't watch the Oscars or anything like that. Also, I did not know that Jada Pinkett had alopecia. So from my perspective, I saw it like when I did hear it, I thought it was like, you know, it was a joke. Will Smith, he might have been under a lot of pressure. We don't know what type of pressure he was up under because, you know, before that, that was that it was a comment by, I think like 2 weeks prior to that, it was a comment by that other person with Jada when they was on the red carpet, and she made a quick little joke, but it was about the entanglement. And so the entanglement been there for years. And so, you know, it's just a build up of different things. And so I think, you know, they was in agreement, like, we're tired of people coming for us. And so even though people say, yes, he hit him. Yes, he did. And they said that he did it for his wife. Maybe he did. I'm not sure. I don't know. Some people say it could have been staged. Again, I don't know. I just know that sometimes, like, when you're when people are pushing or coming at you, you have a breaking point. And even as Christians, we give in. We shouldn't, but we do. So we all fall short. And I think that he just, at that particular moment, he went low. He didn't go high. He might have even forgot where he was at the time. Because he saw his wife was in a state. He knew how part was for her to cut off her hair,
mm-hmm.
and all the other things that's been going on with them. So he reacted.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a good reaction, but he reacted.
All right. Okay, now let me throw just a couple of more things out there, because I like what everybody said. I so appreciate all that you brought to the table. But what I want to, in relation to the scriptures, you know, we could talk about these times, these terrible times. I want to throw something out. First and foremost, and I appreciate and respect what you said, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Just so you know, Chris Rock happens to be a member of West Angeles Church of God in Christ, where George Bloomer is the pastor, if I'm not mistaken, unless Bloomer stepped down and somebody else is pastoring. So, and West Angeles Church of God in Christ, I'd say they believe Jesus Christ. I don't know where Will and Jada go. I think they are Scientologists, and that's a possibility. I'm not going to play that. Here's one final take I'm going to take on that, and we're going to go right to the scriptures after we finish this particular thing. Let's think about this for a minute. It's possible that it may have been staged. And at the same time, it is very possible that Will's own wife played him. Because, first of all, he laughs at the joke. Okay, that's number one. Then he looks over at her, sees that she is not happy, and figures he's got to do something to save face. And I believe she played him. And I mean, played him like a fiddle. The other thing that I want to be aware of and cognizant of is that on his way to that stage, Will didn't look like he was confident in what he was going to do, because he walks up there and then it's like he's trying to determine, is he going to talk or is he going to act or react? And he chose the latter as opposed to the former, because when he turned around and says, keep my wife's name out your mouth, he could have did that from his seat. And I kind of think that would have quelled the storm. And see, there's so many angles to this thing. I'm not looking for an angle, but what I did was use that as a springboard to give a picture of what the body of Christ is looking like in this day and in this age. We can talk about that. We're going to see those terrible times. I mean, we're looking at gas prices that are going through the roof. Diesel for a truck now is almost $6 a gallon. We have the Senate, Republicans and Democrats, bickering and arguing and fighting against one another, literally warring with one another, coming up with meaningless laws that means nothing to you and I as the general public, but yet and still they're imposing these things, and it's no longer about the people. It is about them. And when we find in verse 2 where it says that people will love only themselves and money, it is quite evident that these individuals are out for themselves. They are not out for the people in general. They are not here in support. We the people have died and gone to hell in a handbasket in gasoline drawers because we the people are refusing to stand up and to face them, for we're afraid of what they're going to do or what they might say. In the church, we have suddenly become a silent voice. It is an absolute shame. I'm going to say this, and whoever is listening, I'm sorry. I've got to say what I've got to say. When we've come to the point and place where the gospel no longer has a price tag that comes from a free heart, but it has a price tag that is a set price, you will give me $3,000 for an hour and a half's work of sharing information from you, probably something you got out of a book somewhere and not actual revelation or illumination that comes from God. And then you're going to drag your book team, your movie team, your CD team, this team and that team. Now you want $50,000 to do this work. What is wrong with us? Somebody talk to me.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what the Lord has been dealing with me about lately, that ministry is now more about entertainment, more than edification, more than, you know, spiritual enlightenment and you know, and restoring the soul and setting folk on fire for the purpose of doing what God has called them to do. It is now about being entertained. That's why when people have, you know, revivals and everything, now they have to do all kinds of gimmicks, or, you know, whoever brings the most people, there'll be door prizes, there'll be this quartet group, you know, and when do you know quartet groups that are interested in revival? You got singers that come, you know, back in the day, yeah, you'd hear a good choir, a good soloist, but that's not the case anymore. When you bring a quartet in and, you know, they're only there for a performance, it's not about the move of God anymore.
My goodness.
Has happened is it has become a show and tell. It is no longer about edification. It is now about entertainment. And it's no longer about doing it for the Lord. It's now doing it for hire. That's just the reality.
Anybody else? I agree with you. Anybody else? Come on, y'all. Don't back up now. Say what's on your mind. Look at all this silence. Boy, if we get any more silence
big
in here, we're going to have a library.
Big business. Big business.
Come on, talk to me.
Some
talk
people churches
to me.
Are big business. Some
Come
people churches are big
me.
Business. That's it.
Talk.
You know what? We're going to have family and friends day, but we're going to have a raffle so we can raffle out off the TV. We're going to do Mother's Appreciation. But whoever, I'm with Apostle. If you bring the most members, you get $500, or you get to miss a Sunday at church. That's what we doing now in the church.
Wait. That's what we doing. So that's what we doing now.
That's what we doing now.
That's the title.
We gambling in the church now. We're going to have dress down day. Dress down? What? We're going to do what?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, we're going to do dress down day, and then we're going to have church. I'm all with having church on the outside, but we're going to have dress down day so that people can wear short skirts to church, and when they bend over, you're going to say, come, are you? So that's what we're doing now.
Lord have mercy. The entire picture just comes right out from under that skirt, you know? And
that's
Deacon so-and-so in the corner. Deacon so-and-so. Now, here it is. Can I add to what you just said? Deacon so-and-so in the corner trying to get himself under control because his fire hose
is trying to
get the picture.
But you know,
amen.
You know, I just told Lady Gobble today, I said, you know what really sickens me with some of these women coming to church? And yes, I said it sickens me. You could say, oh, you just jealous because you ain't got no dick. But no, God ain't gave me one because he knew that if he would have, I would have been on somebody's pole right about now. So I'm happy he didn't give me a dick.
Okay.
But what I will say is that you need to wear some drawers and stop around here wearing no underwear. Don't do that because, look, it's a disgrace. It's a disgrace for the modest women. It's a disgrace. So stop. So that's what we're doing now. But, you know, I heard somebody say a couple of Sundays ago, yeah, I said it. Who going to check me? Who? That's what I thought.
I got to throw something at you.
You still got to be, I mean, we still in the same script. We still in the same scripture. You know who God is, but you don't trust him enough that he will correct you when you're wrong. You knew your skirt was too short. It ain't going to grow 2 inches just because you're pulling it down. Then you got the tenacity to hop up and shout in front of the whole church, and then somebody got to run behind you with a sheet. You knew your skirt was short when you bent over in the mirror to see
that your feet
were bashy.
Well,
You should bring a scarf. I make them, though.
Sister Chanel, think about this.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Let me say this before you go anywhere. They have on, and keep this in mind, you may mention them shouting in short dresses. We're not bashing anybody. I don't want the radio audience to think we're bashing. These are things we see in service in this day and age. They go to shout, and their butt's jiggling. They got on anal floss. It's not even a pair of underwear. It's actually anal floss. That's what I call a thong. Anal floss.
He's so
That's
ignorant.
What it is.
He's so ignorant.
You know, I'm sorry.
Let me say this. Because you said that women with them short dresses are supposed to wear scarves. Here's the problem. They can't find those scarves because Sweet Willie is now wearing it around his neck. And that's the new thing, you know.
You
see what I'm saying? Let me tell you something. It bothered me because, you know, I have a thing. I love me some king crab legs and whatnot. And I got a place here. I'm not going to say it out loud because I don't want folks to come to Augusta looking for that place, hoping they're going to find me there. So I ain't going to say what the place is. But went there one day, you know, and it's a nice atmosphere, nice environment, you know, and had a host, not a hostess, but a host to seat me. And first of all, his pants was tighter than some spandex. Had earrings in his ears with lashes. Had fingernails. You'll be sitting over here, and you have a blessed day, and I hope you enjoy yourself. And I wanted to, I promise, so help me God, I said, Lord, save me, because I wanted to say mofo, if you don't put some bass in your voice. Then had one to come and said, can I take your drink order? Excuse me, what did you say?
Yeah, you sure can.
Because the way it sounded, like it almost sounded like he was trying to say, can you bend over? Because I was about to go off. Y'all don't understand. You know, and so we have these issues that are not just in a restaurant. You got them in the sanctuary. And then don't sing that song. We lift our hands in the sanctuary. Oh, that's my song. Oh, I've been needing that song. Girl, just help me, honey. And we lift our hands. If you don't go somewhere and sit down, put your hand down. Get to the altar. If you don't lift your hand, say, Jesus, save me. Don't just wave it up in the air like you just don't care because that's too much sugar over there. I'm sorry. I'm dropping the mic.
Let me say this. And I know it again to the audience that's listening right now. If we sound like we're bashing, please understand that God has set a standard for the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is lowering the standard so that they will incorporate or so that they will get more people to come into the church. God never one time said lower the standard. God is a holy God, and he expects his people to be holy. Sister, if you don't want to wear stockings and you going to grease your legs, at least put on something that's not going to be distracting. I don't come to church to see you with your pea-stained underwear when you fall out in the doggone floor and your sundress fly up over your head, and I'm looking at at Busch Gardens, you know, with two trees on both sides. Honey, I'm not trying to find the Red Sea. I'm trying to find Jesus. I'm trying to stay saved. And let's talk about the preachers that have to sit in the pulpit, men and women, saved and unsaved. Yes, I said saved and unsaved. Save trying to stay saved while Sister Googly, I got everything you need, sits in the front row with that dress on, the one that's showing her thong, and the one that's not trying to be saved is praying that she was split them legs so he can get a good look at what's up underneath so he can get with her after church and bend her over his desk. No, I didn't mean to say that, but I'm going to put it out there. But point, these perilous times are here, and we as a body, members of the body of Christ, have to deal with what's out there. We have to work around this stuff. We have to still hold up a standard of holiness. Yes, there are things. All things, as Paul said, are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Everything is not helpful. Everything is not needed. I'm not going to sit there, and I know somebody made mention of this, and I'm not bashing what you said, because you're right, because the focus is more on the money-making issue as it is the raffle in and of itself. I ain't got a problem with the raffle. What I have a problem with is when the raffle supersedes the word. I don't have a problem with the fashion show. It's when the fashion show comes in and distracts the body of Christ to where they can't hear the word. I don't have a problem. I got a big problem with the skinny jeans. Ain't no sense of me lying about it. I don't need to see your watering tool and how long or short it might be, because your body is hollering, I can't breathe from the waist down. There is an issue that we have to deal with. Men are lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. If they truthfully loved God, they would dress moderately. If they truly loved God, they would be out winning souls instead of trying to find hoes. If they truly loved God, they would take the time to go into the hedges and the highways and compel men to come to the house of God. I was on a Clubhouse feed, and we were talking about that very same Will Smith thing. And some young lady, I believe I talked to Apostle Flight not that long ago and shared it with her. Some young lady came after preachers and made the comment, that's why we don't listen to preachers, because they let all the single women just move on and they don't do anything to help them. Baby girl, first of all, I'll say what I said then, and Apostle Flight is my witness. I said to that young lady, look, the Bible tells us that we are to minister and to be a help and a blessing to widows and orphans. You better go locate your baby daddy and go take him to court and go get your alimony check, because it's not the church's responsibility to take care of single women that have able-bodied men who done planted their penis right between their thighs into their vagina and produce that child. Go find him. I'm sorry. I just got it upset. Let me calm down.
But that's real. But that's real, because what they do is they come to the house of God wanting everybody to take care of them and acting like, woe is me, because he did this to me and he did that to me. Well, boo, he didn't do it by himself. He had some help, because certainly he didn't just pop in. You had to open shop. You know, and I'm so sick and tired of that. I'm going to leave that alone, because I'm about to go a whole other direction. The point is, so this is what we're doing? I mean, like, for real?
Dr. Kimmy and Sister Chanel, y'all awful quiet. We're not asking you to land blast. Observations are what we're doing tonight. Observations.
My observation is, I'm going to be honest, I mean, we all fall short of glory of God. We hear that all the time. We know that we must edify each other and everything. But at the same time, you have a lot of people in the body of church who are adapting to the world culture, because a lot of them don't have their foundation solid. They want to date the world and date God at the same time, but you must choose who your daddy is. And so we must continue on praying for them. I understand, it is what it is, and it's going to get a lot worse. And that's why when Jesus comes back, he's going to be serious. I mean, I have been on some wonderful platform on Clubhouse and been very enlightened, you know? And so with that being said, it's like my focus, honestly, I'm going to be honest, I'm praying for those who don't know God so badly, because I really don't want the wrath on them. I mean, I know they're doing these things,
so, Let me ask you a question. I'm listening to you. Okay, I don't know Jesus Christ in the pardoning of my sins, yet I see all this around me. How on earth do you plan to win me when you're not doing anything that's going to help me?
I'm going to be honest. I'm not supposed to win you. I'm supposed to tell you what Jesus has done for me.
The Bible clearly
says. No, I'm not.
He that went
it says,
the
I
Bible
plant.
Says, listen to the scripture. Here's the Bible. He
I'm listening to
the
scripture.
Yes, you plant. You water, God will give the increase. You're trying to plant, but they're not allowing you to plant, because the ground they're presenting to you has problems. There are 4 or 5 parcels of ground that the scripture talks about, the last one being the good ground.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Yeah, let me finish.
Okay.
So like I said, we water and plant, and God gets the increase. But at the same time, it talks about the plucking, right? So God still says to treat those in love, and he does the plucking. I don't have the power to put anyone in the lake of fire or to raise anyone. I'm called to love my enemies and to love those who are unlovable. I'm called to love my family, my friends, and my enemies. So loving is not putting people down. Love is what? Obeying the commandments of God. And so with that being said, yeah, I mean, you see those things. But it's sad. It really is. But at the same time, maybe we can, like, pray for them, because you may be solid on one thing, and that may be their thorn. Everyone has a thorn. Everyone has a thorn. There's no person. I mean, we can say these things on podcasts, but who are you behind closed doors is who you really are. So we can't say that we have arrived, but we must understand that we all have issues. And when we address that, yes, I understand you may have issues with trusting people, and that's why you let him know. We come to places like this because it's a hospital. God didn't give us the right to sin. He didn't say we could just go out and sin, but we are still fighting flesh, and it's a spiritual warfare every day with flesh and spirit daily. That's why Paul says to focus on these things. That's why it says in the Word that we must dress towards a high calling mark, which is in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul says, when I try to do good, evil is there. I mean, he even tipped in Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God, Son of Man. He was able to do that because he is God. And so that's why he has to come down here to rescue us, because he knew we could not do it by ourselves. So no one is above.
I heard every
it. I understand what you're saying,
that you
but
said.
That's
but
all
now,
I can say.
Okay, well, I heard you, but here's where we're going. Look at the scripture. Paul is telling us what is about to take place. And Paul is trying to help us to understand what you are up against. Everything that you said, I will not say is not right. I will not say that it is wrong. What I will say is it's what God expects. But in the heat of battle, and we've all been there, it doesn't happen. The truth of the matter is, when we look at what we're dealing with, there are folk who are literally in church. Jesus did say, and I know what you meant about the plucking, let the wheat and the tare grow together. In the end, I'll do the separating. I thoroughly, completely understand that. The bottom line is simple this. How do you tell the difference between wheat and tare? When the tare can shout like you, the tare can speak in tongues like you, the tare can walk up to you and sound sweet as punch, but the minute you piss the tare off, the tare turns into a demon seed. Okay? Now where are you going? What are you going to do? You going to bust them to the white meat, or you going to run away from them? See here, this I don't want people to get the idea.
I don't focus on that.
I don't want
that's
people to get the
that's
idea.
Where I'm at in life.
You don't. It's not a
I
focus.
I don't focus.
It's not. It's not. Listen. It's not a focus. It's a reality. It's what we have to deal with. I'm serious. It's what we have to deal with. And when I say so, this is what we're doing. I'm referring to the people who are supposed to be members of the body of Christ, who have turned to the world. And if, all right, since we're going to go there, Paul also spoke to Timothy and in the book of Hebrews about a great apostasy that is going to take place. Don't think for one second the body of Christ is the members, I should say, of the body of Christ are not falling away. Very much so, they are falling away. Now, we've been technically, because our government said closed church doors, been put out of the physical building. Since coming out of the physical building 2 years ago, less than 40% have returned to the gathering place. And now their focus is on something else. They wouldn't dare wash a car. I'm just using this as a hypothetical. Wouldn't dare wash a car on a Sunday morning knowing that they had to be in church. Would not dare be laying around in their pajamas. They'd be dressed and ready to go to Sunday school. Nowadays, they go, they turn on their computer, and they turn off their camera. They're getting their coffee. They're getting their breakfast. The next thing you know, some little girl comes across their camera, and now they're going to switch from church to skirt. All right, we're in a battle. Let's just say it like it is.
and to pick one another up and encourage the body of Christ, we have to understand the nature of the fight that we're in. We can't do, no disrespect to anybody when I say this, you can't do the flowery bed of ease thing and think that everything's going to be all right. No, because if that were the case, then we would never have a problem. That's why the enemy fights with us the way he does. That's why we're constantly, continuously in turmoil. Right now, I'm going through something with my family. I'm the head of my house, and there is a tumultuous situation in my family. Y'all might have seen it on Facebook. I asked you to pray, and I asked with purpose because of the simple fact that this thing is just not going to go away. It's got to be dealt with. You don't have a choice. And so when I say to the body of Christ at large, so now this is what we're doing? It's all about me, and it's no longer about God? I'm sorry. I'm on my soapbox. I'm trying to get off. Somebody take over. I got to step out the truck for a minute and get some fresh air.
But you're speaking truth, and these are things that, again, many people are not paying attention to. Statistics lets us know that throughout the course of this pandemic, 22,500 churches have closed their doors and will not reopen. I remember one church said that because of the Delta and the Omarion variants, that they were closing the church of the door indefinitely, so they will do everything by streaming. Well, if God wanted us to stream, he would have put it in there. Don't forget to watch the live stream of your local service. That's not what he says. What he says is forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some have. And that is the problem. People have taken the word of the CDC and the word of their local politician over the word of God. Now, I could be wrong, but I'm almost certain that there's a scripture that says something, and if this is not there, then y'all forgive me, but I'm almost certain that there's a scripture that says something to the effect, whose report shall you believe?
Say it. Say it.
So my thing is, why are you allowing some scientific or political voice to be greater than the voice of God? That's what I want to know. So we doing that now? We taking our instructions from cereal boxes and whatnot? Is that what we're doing now? I'm just saying. Okay. I'll just,
Come on, somebody.
I don't know where they at, but I'm just saying.
Put me in, coach. Put me in.
Come on. Get
in.
Get in.
Put me in, coach.
You're in the timetable. Go ahead. It's time. We ain't doing no TV timeout today.
And I got to go to sleep. So check this out. I'm going to piggyback off of what Apostle Willow just said about, we take a PVC. First of all, you're not supposed to mix state with church. They're not really saying that. So they can't go in there and tell you what you can do in your church. It's a sad case. Listen, since 2019 when things were coming out, and I got COVID the first time. They diagnosed me with an upper respiratory. I'm going somewhere. Just pay attention. They diagnosed me with an upper respiratory infection, gave me antibiotics, and whatever, breathing treatments, XYZ, boom, 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 you name it. Yeah, When 2020 came, everybody was in a panic. I ain't talking about the people out in the world. I'm talking about the church was in a panic. The church was in a panic. But think back now, back in the Bible days, we read about everything. That there's nothing new under the sun. We read about all the plagues that took place. We read about all the diseases. What about the woman who touched the hem of God's garment? They said she was, every time a leper came out, you're supposed to scream, unclean.
Very true.
Unclean. Hold on, I'm still
back
going
in the day.
Just watch. Listen, when people got COVID, they were scared to tell you that they had COVID because they was, embarrassed that they got COVID. Unclean.
Mm-hmm.
Unclean. They weren't telling people that they had COVID. They was going around people and They was going around other people giving them COVID. So they became unclean unclean.
Mm-hmm.
I said all that to say this. If we don't trust God, if we don't take God at his word, stop going to church, period. Don't encourage nobody to do nothing. Keep all that to yourself. But if you are going to trust God, take him at his word, and please, I don't know why God had me dream about, stop telling people that I ain't never failed. I'm a God that I can do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it. Fail, that's not in my job description. And I'm talking about me and somebody going back and forth about that. Well, I'm going to say it. I said, well, God didn't tell me to say it. If you're going to trust him, trust him and shut up.
There you go. There you go.
If you're going to take him
and
at
you know
his
what?
Word,
can
take
I,
him
can
at
I,
his word and shut up.
Can I piggyback off of what you just said? If we realistically pay attention, for those who did, and I too, when COVID first hit, January of, not this past year, but the year previous, I got, and Apostle Whitlow, you were on our, you were in our service, and I'm trying to preach, and I'm coughing like a wild man. You were right there. The bottom line was this. People were afraid to say that they had COVID. They were trying to dress it up so it don't look like they were faithless. They were trying to make it seem like they, yeah, I mean, you know, and wearing a mask, well, wearing a mask, spiritually speaking, is never good. We had to wear masks. Now, I'm going to say something that's going to kind of, might make some of y'all decide you want to hang up and move on. Isn't it amazing that when we pass flaxins from our body, that the flaxins will shoot through our panties or our underwear, make its way out of our pants, and the odor of that flaxin has the ability to make itself known
to somebody else.
That cause somebody's eyes to start burning. But yet we put on a cloth mask with a little paper-thin filter in it, and we're expecting this disease to be controlled with that mask. I'm not knocking the mask. Here's where I'm going with that. We have not found – it took us years to find a cure for HIV, and we still haven't found a cure, but we found a way to slow it down. It took us years to come up with a vaccine for smallpox. We've slowed it down. It took us years to come up with a vaccine for the flu. We slowed it down. It took us years to come up with something for chickenpox and for the measles and for mumps and for typhoid and, you know, tuberculosis and all these. We turn around, team breaks out, and in less than 8 months, we have a vaccine that's supposed to be 95% effective. Now, I'm sort of kind of having a little problem with that because that tells me right then and there that that wasn't God sent. That was man-made. But that's what Paul is talking about in this third chapter of 2 Timothy, when men are lovers of money more than they are of God. We got people right now, the top 1%, not all of them, but a few of them, want to turn around and do a global genocide to depopulate the world so that they can accumulate other properties and stuff like that so that they could be the richest, most powerful individual on the face of this earth. And the only reason why they haven't done it and can't do it to this present point in time is because that is not the plan of the Lord for the world. Okay, let's not forget the fact that over 900,000 plus died from what I would call personally a man-made disease. What's wrong with this picture, y'all? So this is what we're doing? I'm asking, is this what we're doing? And then the body of Christ, the church at large, will sleep. We sit there, we want to preach to each other. We want to have a revival with one another, but we leave out the lost, the less, the least, the unloved, the unwanted, the rejected. We never invite them to revival. Why can't they have a revival? I'll tell you why. Because we too busy trying to get in our little bless me clubs. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm just so happy to be here. Shut up. I'm sorry. Go ahead, somebody.
But you're speaking truth. You know, again, we have those, and I think you said it well when you said you have people who are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then if we go back into 1 Timothy, I believe in the 6th chapter and about maybe the 12th verse or something, it says something about the love of money is the root
yes.
of all evil. Not having money, but the love of it, when you will do anything for it. And this is the world we live in, a world that will do anything for money. I mean, you figure, look at this now. Watch this. Look at how powerful this is when a woman would sell her body for money. Ooh. But then again, there are some men
mm-hmm.
who will sell their
uh-huh.
money, sell their body for money. Wait a minute. There are some people who will sell their mama's car for some drugs. You don't hear me.
Mm-hmm.
Because
Come
this
on.
Is how desperate they are, because they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. When you will sleep with somebody for some food stamps, for real, that's lovers of pleasure rather than being lovers of God. You can say what you want to say, but it's the truth anyway. When you sitting there and you talking about you will polish some knob or you will call somebody to ride that wild donkey, come on here. And just for some money, that's lovers of pleasure. And the sad part is that's only one side. That doesn't look at the deviousness that exists. Why? Watch this, because this is what the Bible says. And I read this part, and if I didn't see this, y'all need to help me. But it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rules of darkness
yes.
of
yes.
this
yes.
world. And not from no foreign world, but of this world. And then it says spiritual wickedness in high places, which means that the enemy is very much working in the heavenlies. Yes, he is. Now, you might be saying, what you mean heavenlies? Well, you got the atmospheric and the cosmic. We ain't going to talk about the angelic or the fourth dimension because people ain't ready for that yet. So even in just the atmospheric heavens, this is what we have. We have those planes that release substances over the land that causes sicknesses and disease, but nobody don't say nothing
yeah.
about it. Then you get folk who want to go out to the outer space, the cosmic heaven, and they get stuck out there and trapped out there, and they nerve wreck when things don't work out there because you weren't designed to be there. That's why people are all just stuck in this, their what they call it, their zodiac and their horoscope and that foolishness, and they're wondering why certain things ain't coming together because they're in places they don't belong because what
exactly.
their love is a pleasure. Rather than lovers of God. This is what we're doing now, for real. This is what we're doing. Okay, I just thought I'd ask.
Let me throw the second part in there as we come down to a close. And this is the easy-to-read version. They will be proud and boastful about themselves. They will abuse others with insults. They will not obey their parents. They will be ungrateful against all that is pleasing to God. Is this what we are doing? And, I mean, I have to ask that question because, I mean, if it's just in the world, fine, no problem. The non-believer, fine, no problem. It is what it is. They do what they do. But we got believers performing these things. You know, I mean, I praise God for your accomplishments and where God is taking you to and what God is doing with you. But when you spend more time talking about you than you do about the Lord, we got a problem, meaning me and you. When you find yourselves abusing, misusing, verbally assaulting other people constantly, continuously, and I will say this, this goes back to ethnicities. We're talking about discriminatory practices. We had a president in the United States just a couple of years ago who were putting down the Mexicans and putting down the Spaniards and calling NFL players, you know, they should be put in jail and things like that. I mean, oh, boy. All right, let me shut up because I'm going too far out there, you know. They won't obey their parents. You've got kids out there. I saw, I believe it was a TikTok or what's that other one, Instagram, where a mother and a son sat down face-to-face in a chair. We're going to have a conversation. And because the son felt like the mother would not let him talk, he slapped her. This is what we're doing?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I saw two things that was on TikTok. One was a little girl went to her father and said, "Daddy, Daddy, can I say a bad word?" And she was screaming at her dad, "Daddy, can I say a bad word?" He said, "Yeah." And the child looked at her mother and said, "You M-F-B-I-T-C-H." Like, whoa. If that's not one, here's the other thing. Look, the daddy was about to beat the son, right? And the son was crying. And daddy said, "Give me one good reason I shouldn't beat you." Said, because I won't tell mom that you were talking to the woman down the street. And so he said, "Well, that's a good reason. Let's go get some ice cream."
Oh, Lord.
But this is what we're doing? This is what we're doing?
But this is what we're doing. Compromising. Know you're doing wrong, but you're compromising. I'm going to stop right there because, I mean, this could go on for God knows how long. And that's just, we only scratched the surface, you know? Truth of the matter is, and I respect everything that was said today, yeah, we need to walk more so in love in this day and age. We need to focus on where God wants to take us. But when we focus on where God wants to take us, that means we're not taking anybody with us. And that's a sad thing. Jesus gave us two commandments that needed to be followed. And the body of Christ is having a hard time following these two commandments. The first one is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. And we're having a hard time doing that because many of us don't even love ourselves. When you would just cold-bloodedly kill a man or a woman over nothing, over something stupid, there's no love there, okay? You're going to kill somebody over money or kill somebody over drugs or kill somebody because they disrespected your woman or your man or kill somebody because they bumped into you. What kind of madness are we dealing with in this day and age? And yet I have to be close and pay attention. I know over in the Ukraine, Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24. He talked about there being wars and rumor of wars. He talked about diseases. He talked about pestilences. He says, but the end is not yet. These things are just the birth pains of the beginning of the end. And here we are 2 years into COVID-19, and we're having a great difficulty dealing with that. But at the same time, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but there is more coming. And if the scripture says that it rains on the just as well as the unjust, that simply tells me that I need to be ready when Jesus comes. End of story. Any final comments before we close up? Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to say something. Since tomorrow is Friday and it's at the table with Apostle P, I think we should do part two tomorrow on my show and then do part three next Thursday on Elation Radio.
I'll tell you what we'll
because
do.
the people need to understand this ain't what we're doing. We ain't doing this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're gonna be
by
our Father's business.
Let's do that. And I'll go one better. If I can get home, which I believe I can get home, I'll let you know by at least 5 o'clock. At the table with Apostle Fee is going on Zoom and going out to the multiple feeds. If I can get home in time and set up Zoom, we'll go on the Zoom feed and we'll go from there. Because
I'm available.
Right. All right. Anybody that wants to join?
All of us. Yeah.
We'll put it out there and let you know how to get on.
Apostle Whitlow says he's available. Let's do it because we need to go outside. I'm not discrediting Elation Radio and what we do here, but in the event that people cannot or have not been invited or don't know anything about Elation Radio, let's go ahead and spread the word because, again, we are very unscripted. We don't rehearse anything that we talk about on here.
Mm-mm.
And people
nope.
may indeed have the same idea but don't know how to get it out, don't know what platform to get it out because they don't want any backlash. I tell you what, we don't care nothing about backlash because we know that God covers us. But there are some people that really, 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 they're hungry and they're thirsty for righteousness. And see, anytime we go to talking about the goodness of God, things begin to happen. You know, things that happened this weekend, you know, people are now starting to feel the effect. one thing I need for the people of God to understand, as long as, and I think Apostle Whitmer put it on Facebook, as long as you're doing right by God, the enemy is going to attack, because he's going to try to discredit your belief in the word that was already put into the atmosphere. But see, I just came to let the devil know on tonight, again, before I close my eyes, you tried it, but I'm still here. You tried.
Amen.
Apostle Flythe and Bishop Elect, I'm a little bit different. I'm telling the devil, don't come for me, especially when I didn't send for you, because I'm going to send you somewhere you don't want to go.
You got to go fight a lion, tiger, or a bear, or maybe even a shark.
That's a shame. One final thing I am going to throw out there, and I did put this on Facebook because is this what we're doing? I didn't get to the area, and I didn't get a chance to talk about it, you know, in dealing with a lot of our singles. And I'm running across individuals that are literally calling me in tears because they thought that this quote-unquote man that they quote-unquote fell in love with loved them, only to find out that he went back to his wife or he went back to his old girlfriend. I put this on Facebook, so I'm going to say to whoever's listening, if you are the other woman, you'll never be the only woman. Get used to it. That's what you're looking forward to. I'll say it again.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing. If you are the other woman, you'll never be the only woman. Think about what you're doing. Yeah. And that's part of the – so this is what we're doing. I was going to save that for making marriage meaningful, but I may bring it up again because we need to talk about it. You know, and please don't misunderstand me. I'm not tired of my single mothers and single ladies calling me and talking to me about what they're going through. We're looking for solutions. And here is a solution to them. Stop being the other woman and start being
and
the only
solution,
woman.
There's a part two to that. If you
okay.
know that God said that that wasn't him, and you still holding on to it, God is going to allow him to hurt you in order for you to let him go.
Mm-hmm.
And I would rather be obedient than to have to suffer for my wrongdoing.
I'm going to give you part three on that right there. If you know that you don't belong with him and you stay there anyway, you deserve everything you get.
That's what we're doing now. We got to ask that question. And I'm bringing that up because let's say that there's one other area that we're not going to cover no time soon. When we do get to it, we'll talk about it as we close down. Dr. Kimmy Kim, get the song ready, please. The bottom line is there are, and I know of individuals who have been in relationships, and we're on our Bible study talking about relationships. They've been with this man or this woman for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. This individual has no intention to marry them, and yet they don't want to let go because they're practicing what they call common law. The only thing common is the fact that he's still getting the milk for free. I'm going to leave that alone.
Well, before you can get the milk, baby,
you're
going to buy
it now. But here's the thing. You know, if she don't need to complain about getting milk for free when all she's getting is a sausage link. But, you know, that ain't none of my business, though. I'm just saying.
And that's what we're doing.
You know,
it's either a cow or a pig.
It's either one you want, whichever you want to dig. All right, I'm done.
Oh, that's a shame. Well, listen, we bless God for every one of you coming in. Thank you for each and every one of you for taking time. And I know this was basically sort of kind of informal. And we just had to just address this, and we will come back and do it again at some point in time. No, we haven't lost our minds. No, we haven't lost our way. We're just talking about the current events of the day. This is what we do here on the Pastor's Corner. And sometimes you may not agree with us, but most times eventually you'll see what it is that we're trying to get done here. We bless God for each and every one of you. Don't forget to tune in this coming Saturday for Making Marriage Meaningful. But first, come catch the
a second part to this on At the Table with Apostle Fee. She will definitely be on Facebook, and we're going to do what we can do to get to Zoom and other social media so that we can expand this. I would even love to take it to Clubhouse, but that may be asking for a little bit much. You know, we're not trying to create no we're not trying to create anything. We're just trying to put a conversation out there that needs to be had. End of story. Without further ado, Dr. Kimmy Kim, would you please play that track? You guys have a good night. We will catch you next week on the Pastor's Corner.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom.
It's a place called unity, where we meet.